Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, well, welcome everyone here today. Hey, I hope you had a great time over Thanksgiving. Got to have some time with some friends and some family, get to relax. Maybe like me, maybe you ate a little bit too much. I think I gained about 5 pounds over Wednesday and Thursday there, so I was back at it at the gym this morning. I had to get a couple miles in this morning. I'm trying to work back at it to get that off. So I thought I would take this moment for you all to get to know me just a little bit better, and I thought I would introduce you guys to some of my family here today. Many of you know that my wife has been on staff for over 6 years, and many of you know my wife and used to know me as Kara's husband. So I thought I would take a moment and introduce some of the rest of our family here today and get to know us a little bit better. So I want to put up that first picture here. This is me and my wife. If you didn't know my wife, yeah, that's my beautiful wife right there. We were at a wedding a couple of weeks ago. We got to do that. That was super fun. But in this next picture, this is my family. These are my children. On the left there is my son, Troy. That is my wife there with hairstyle number 2. If you see my wife lately, she's got hairstyle number 3. That little guy standing there right next to me, that is my grandson, Jace. That is my daughter, Danielle, and my other son, Trent. I have twin 18-year-old boys. My daughter is 22, and my grandson there is Jace. Actually, that picture was taken at the Knoxville Zoo. Do I have any other animal lovers here in the congregation? Yeah, I love some animals. We love to go to the zoo when we travel. We love to try to find out if there's a zoo in our area. We love to go check those out. I love to watch nature shows. I like to watch BBC, Planet Earth. My wife's always giving me a hard time, laughing at me for watching those. I like to watch lions kill stuff. So that's what I like to. I enjoy me some animals. So our family would not be complete without a couple of animals of our own. So we could, yeah. There's Grumpy Gracie, our cat, and Dora the Explorer, our little Frisbee dog. She loves to play Frisbee. I'm sure she is napping there after a long session of Frisbee. That's pretty much what Gracie does. Gracie likes to sleep, and many times she likes to sleep on my lap. As soon as I get home every day, the dog and the cat, they come and they run and jump up on my lap. So that is me and my family there. Wanted you guys to see a little bit who we are there today. But you know, you could look at those pictures, you could see me up here today, and you could think probably things have always been pretty good for us. But that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, there was a time in my life where that couldn't be further from the truth. You know, as we get into the message today, we get into the word today, I want to share with you a scripture. It's Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." I want to tell you a story today on how Jesus sought me, who was lost. There was a time in my life where I was so lost, I was so hopeless at a time in my life in the not so distant past. And I'll tell you what, a life without hope is unsustainable. I was in a place in my life where I couldn't continue on living anymore. Jesus sought and saved me. And what he has done for me, he will do for you as well. And that's a story that I want to share with you here today. You know, I grew up in a small rural town in Northwest Ohio, the population, a little less than 5,000. You know, one of those small country towns where everyone kind of knows everyone, everyone's kind of related to, you know, one of those kind of small towns. You know, maybe you're familiar with those types of towns like I grew up in. Cornfields, it was just very rural. Nothing like Cranberry. Remember, we moved to Cranberry, it's like, wow, this is the big city. Nothing like Cranberry. We were so kind of scared when we moved here. It's like, where are our kids going to school? But I grew up in a very small town. My parents started a church in our town. You know, I grew up with great parents. My parents always exposed us to church, kept us exposed to the word. My parents would be praying over us all the time. And my parents started a church in our small town. That church grew to about 70 or 100. My parents would rent the American Legion Hall in our small town, and we would go in on Sunday mornings, and we would set up all the chairs for church, and my mom was a praise and worship leader. My aunts and uncles, they were all in the band, and we'd set up on Sunday mornings, do church, and then we'd tear it all down, and we'd go home, Little did I know I'd be doing the same thing 30 years later in Newcastle, February of 2020. I got some practice a very long time ago. It was so good. So good. But the church was growing. My dad started traveling around and speaking at other churches. And shortly after he started traveling and speaking at other churches, my mom got sick. My mom got sick with lupus. And at that time, the type of lupus that she had, the diagnosis wasn't good. They gave her a few months to live. That was in the late 80s. And so I don't know if you've ever encountered something like that before. But when you encounter a terminal situation like that, that was pretty tough. Through that process, we were all praying for my mom. At home, in our church, we regularly saw miracles, signs, and wonders. We prayed with an expectation of healing. But my mom's healing didn't manifest like we thought it would. And so we started traveling to healing meeting, evangelist to evangelist. We're trying to do everything that we can for my mom to get healed, because she only has a few months to live. Through that process, over a couple of years, we ultimately end up falling completely out of the church. I don't know if anybody in here has been like me, and everything's going along in life, and everything's going great, and then bam, it's a sickness. It's a disease. It's an accident. It's a financial crisis. It's a divorce. It's a death. Anybody else like me, or has that just happened to me in here? Come on, life is going good, and then something happens like that. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, Scripture says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." The Scripture says, do not fear nor be afraid of them. Them, sickness. We don't need to be afraid of that. Them, death. We don't need to be afraid of those. God is always with us. Now, I wish in that time of my life I knew that scripture and the reality that it is in my heart today, but I didn't. At this time of my life, my mom's sick. We start traveling. We ultimately fall out of the church. This is right around the time where I start driving. Not long after I started driving, I started drinking. Drinking quickly turned into drugs, because once you're on that scene and you're meeting and you're hanging out with those people at that young of an age, there was drugs around as well. This is about my sophomore year in high school. By my senior year in high school, in the morning before school, I would be smoking marijuana in my car with a couple of my friends. We'd be smoking marijuana. We would get high before we would go into school. And then we would go in and we became quite the bullies. We would bully kids while we were at school. By the end of my senior year, I'm so addicted. I'm to the point where I don't want to live anymore. I'm tired of being addicted, and there's nothing I can do. My family would try to help. My new friends, I would try to make new friends to try to help me get clean. That didn't work. I'm sick of hanging on. There was nothing I could do. So about a year after high school, I'm hopeless. Some of my friends are coming back. They left right after high school to go in the military, and they're coming back from the military. And some of my friends that I would be partying with, it seemed like some of the things that we were going through together, they weren't dealing with anymore. So I thought, you know what? Maybe I'll try the military. Maybe they can fix me too. So I went in the Air Force. I went in the Air Force, went through basic training. After basic training, I go to my tech school to learn what I'm going to do in the Air Force. Shortly after I'm in tech school, my soon-to-be wife, not Kara, is sexually assaulted. I'm the protector, I'm this tough guy, and this guy that I used to regularly bully took out on me. What are you going to do to me? On her? I can't tell you all kind of mess that did for me on the inside. So I get out of tech school, she comes and moves in with me, we get married, we're both miserable, we're both medicating. My medication is more alcohol. I'm done. I get reported on base as having a drinking problem. So I have to go to the base hospital to be evaluated. I had had a little bit too much to drink. Supervisor saw me, reported to my supervisor. So I have to go to rehab on base. Have to go to AA meetings, trying everything that I can. Everything that I can. And nothing works. It fails. I'm doing everything that I can. Scripture says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. I was on a path for death and destruction. I was trying everything that I could, but I was on a path of death and destruction. I was doing the very best that I could. But thank God for a Savior. Our key scripture we started off with, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Thank God he sought after me, who was lost, and he didn't give up. And I want to let you know here, if you're here today and you're in a similar situation, God hasn't given up on you either. My issue was drugs and alcohol at that time. You may have a different issue. God hasn't given up on you yet, no matter what you're fighting. Shortly after I get out of the Air Force, I get divorced. My ex-wife takes my two-year-old daughter, moves 8 hours away. My daughter in the picture there, we've never really had a really close relationship, and that's tough. And I don't blame my ex-wife. I was a terrible person at that time. She wanted to protect my daughter from me. Shortly after I get divorced, I meet Kara. And I got to be honest with you. I'm me. I don't give this any hope. Not because of her. So many of you know Kara. Kara is great. I have no hope because of me. This cycle of addiction and all the struggles and the pain that I would put people through. I didn't have any hope in that situation because of me. I didn't see a way out that this ended in any good way. So Kara and I are together for about a year. We have our twin boys there, Trent and Troy. And we're going along for about 4 years, and Kara wants to get married, and I got to be honest, I just don't see any hope. And we ended up getting married. And we go along for about 7 more years, we're married, and I'm coming to a breaking point, because I'm drinking, and we're both drinking, and I'm doing drugs secretly, I'm hiding all that from Kara, and I'm getting to the point where I'm coming to a breaking point physically and mentally. I started having panic attacks and regularly for a while to the point where I needed to go to my doctor because they were becoming so frequently. I would just be at work and I would have to get up out of a meeting, drive myself to the emergency room, and I would tell them that I can't breathe. And that's the thing about a panic attack. You feel like you can't breathe. You're breathing all right. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced one of those. They're terrible. And so I go to my family doctor. My family doctor gives me some medication. She gives me Xanax to help calm me down. You know, I'm having these panic attacks. I'm kind of on the upside, so she wants to calm me down. The Xanax did very good at what Xanax is designed to do, and that's to bring you down. It brought me down so far, I was so depressed that I wanted to take my own life. So over a weekend, I checked myself into the local emergency room. I didn't know if I was going to take my own life, and I wanted some protection from me. I didn't know where else I could get some protection, so I kept going to the emergency room, and they let me stay there for a few hours because I was just afraid of me, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And they let me stay there for a few hours, and then they would send me home. They'd kick me out of there, and they're like, you got to follow up with your family doctor. Well, I had just come from my family doctor. I'm in here because I've already met with my family doctor. So they kick me out. I spend the weekend there. Monday, I get into my family doctor. I meet with her. She's crying. I'm crying. I'm just hopeless. Don't know what to do. She's like, John, I'm sorry. You must have had a little underlying depression. And we gave you the Xanax, and it just made it worse. She's like, there's nothing I can do. We're just going to have to take a few weeks, let the drug work its way out of your system, and then we can try something else. You want to talk about hopeless. A life without hope is unsustainable. And I was at a point that I couldn't hang on anymore. I couldn't live like this anymore. So my doctor in that meeting that day, she told me, she goes, well, you can check yourself into the mental hospital and you can stay there until you feel like you're at a point where you feel like you're safe to come home for you and your family. So I did that. I want to protect my family from me, want to protect me from me. So I did that. And I checked myself in, and shortly after I get there that first day, doctors and nurses are running by you and they're trying to save somebody who had just tried to take their own life. That was the regular there. The doctors and the nurses constantly trying to protect them people in there from themselves. All throughout that time, you hear these screams coming from somewhere that sound like they're from another world, that make the hairs stand up on the back of your neck. Spent some time in there, and I got out of there while I still could, knowing that I need to change my life, but I don't know how. I feel like I've tried everything, and nothing's getting better. So I get out, and about this time, it just so happens that Kara's brother is in town, Lauren. And so we decide we're going to go to lunch one day, and we're hanging out at lunch one day, and we're just sharing everything, and I'm talking to him about everything that is going on. And we spend about an hour together at lunch. And at the end of that hour, he says to me, "What's stopping you from going to church?" And I said, "You know, you're right. What is stopping? You know, I'm going to go this weekend." I went home that day. I told my wife, I said, "Hon, we're going to go to church this weekend." And we went to church. This April 1st coming up will be 8 years. April 1st was the first time I drove to church on my own, not riding with my parents. April 1st, 8 years ago, the message was the prodigal son. Sounds like many of you know that story. If you don't, it's in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son lived his life much like I was living my life. The prodigal son asks his father for his inheritance before he dies. His father gives him his inheritance. His son takes it and goes to a foreign land, spends all the money on wild living, much like I did. There comes a famine in the land. And so he has to start working to support himself. So he starts working for this pig farmer. And it gets so bad in the land that they're at that the food that he is feeding to the pigs looks good. And while he's doing this, it's like he comes to his senses. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you. I know sometimes I'll be struggling in life and something will, and then it's just like it hits me. Well, yeah, I can do this. And it's like the prodigal son, he comes to this realization that he can go back to his father's house. His father has servants that he pays. He said, "I'll go back to my father's house and I'll repent and I'll ask for forgiveness and I'll work for my father." So he starts off to his father, and while he's still a long ways off, his father's looking for him. And his father comes running to him, embraces him, kisses him, puts a robe on it, sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, and throws him a party. The father ran to him. As soon as he turned to the father ran to him. I don't know if that's you today, but if you will turn to God right now, He will come running to you. He doesn't turn anyone away. I don't know if that's you today. I don't know how you came in here today. I don't know what you're dealing with, what you might be struggling with. But if you'll turn to Him, He'll run right to you. Why don't we take a moment here? Why don't we bow our heads right now? We give this opportunity. Assure you, if you will turn to God right now, He will come running to you right now. You know, the day that I made Jesus Lord of my life, I immediately lost the desire to drink and do drugs. He'll set you free, just like He did me. He's no respecter of persons. Luke 5:32, Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He called me. I responded. He called you. He's calling you right now. A little tug on your heart. John 3:17 says, For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He saved me. He'll save you if you'll respond to him. If you haven't made Christ your Lord and your Savior, or if you're not sure, I want to give you that opportunity here today. If you died today and you don't know where you would spend eternity, I want to pray for you today to assure that for you. Because there will be hopelessness in hell without Jesus. There will be hope in heaven with Jesus. Maybe you're hopeless here today. I remember that day not too long ago. I was hopeless. But I found hope in Jesus. If you make Jesus the Lord of your life and apply the same spiritual disciplines I did, and I got up every morning, I read my Bible, I prayed, I went to church every weekend, God will fill you full of his hope. The Bible tells us that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Those are very real things. You get to make a decision here today. Jesus came to pay the sin debt that you and I owe, that we couldn't pay. He paid it. The wrath of God was poured out on him that was due us. He died, was raised on the third day for us so we could have eternal life with him. Going to church does not make us right with God. Being baptized as a baby does not make us right with God. Membership in a church, including this church, does not make you right with God. You have to invite him in. He turns no one away. You have to choose with your own free will. So if you're here today, and you don't know where you would spend eternity, I want to give you that opportunity right now to have the peace of an eternity in heaven with Jesus. If that's you here today, would you just slip up your hand just to acknowledge it? I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you want to have the peace of the eternity with Jesus Christ, slip up your hand right now. Thank you. God bless you. You know, he turns no one away. It's a simple acknowledgement. It's an invitation. Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. It's a simple invitation. We're all going to pray a prayer. And then he'll make us brand new, the scriptures say. One last moment. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Have a hope of eternity with him. Just slip your hand up right now. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, I want you to pray this prayer out loud, and we'll all pray it together with you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, repeat after me. Jesus will come into your heart and make you brand new. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and my life. Jesus, I receive you now. I turn away from my old life, and I will walk with you, and I will live for you. Thank you for making me brand new. My sin debt is canceled. And when I die, I will go directly to heaven because of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put it together for him. You just made the best decision in your life. The saved life is the best life. But you know, just a moment ago, I shared you a story of my brother-in-law, Lauren, how he made a simple invitation for me to go to church. And many of you at that moment probably started to think about what type of person Lauren is. Because, you know, we all picture that person that shares Jesus with somebody, or that person that shares church with somebody. And we get this image, and it's somebody that's totally opposite of what we look like. Isn't it? Or am I the only one? I think they look somewhat different. Well, I thought I'd show you a picture here of my brother-in-law, Lauren. He's the guy in the sunglasses there. I don't know what you see. But I see love. He had the boldness and the courage to make a simple invitation for me to go to church. I don't know if that was easy or hard for him. But I am so thankful that he stepped out and shared that with me. Not only for me, but on the other side of that, there's an entire family. God always sends a man. John chapter 1, verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I like to read that scripture. There was a man sent from God whose name was Lauren. I believe Lauren was sent by God to me, for me, at that time of my life. He's the only person that could have given me that invitation and for me to respond to it. I'm convinced if Lauren doesn't make that invitation, that I'm not here today. I don't believe I would be alive today. The way I was living my life, I believed that I was going to be dead before I was 40. I would OD or I would get in some kind of a car accident or something like that. I was convinced that I would die before I was 40. This year I turned 44. If I would be alive, I most certainly would be divorced again, probably in jail, most definitely still addicted to drugs and alcohol. But God, he sent a man. Lauren invited me to church. We don't have to make this so difficult. Lauren didn't share the sinner's prayer with me there that day at lunch. He simply invited me to church. We make this too complicated. You know, in a couple of weeks, I know there's this amazing event that's coming on here at the church, December 20th through the 21st. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Christmas Show. It's going to be amazing. And there's going to be an opportunity for the people there to make Jesus their Savior and their Lord. It'll change their lives for eternity. I'm so thankful for Lauren that God put me on his heart and then he responded. I'm going to encourage you, let's take a personal responsibility for one person this year to reach out to them and make sure that they're here for the Christmas show. One person. I think sometimes when we talk about these things, we think like we've got to get a busload of people. Like we got to drive a bus here with like 50 people in it. Or maybe we're trying to fill up the entire auditorium here, and that's awesome. Maybe that's you. Can we all make a personal commitment to get one person here? If everyone got one person here, we would be in overflow at all the Christmas shows. One person. You know, I think we make it too difficult. It's a text. I would encourage you, use Lauren's model. I've learned from Lauren's model. He spent time with me. He just didn't send me a text, hey, John, why don't you go to church? You know, I'm in this hole. Honestly, that wouldn't have done a whole lot for me. I wouldn't have responded to that text. He invested some time with me. We spent lunch together. We spent some time at lunch. And then he invited me to go to church. I want to encourage you. Send a text to somebody today. Make a phone call to somebody today. Start a conversation that will lead to the invitation. Don't just send them the invitation. Start a conversation with them. And I believe God is working on the hearts of the people that you're going to be texting. I believe right now as we're talking, people's names and faces are coming on your heart on who you're going to contact. I believe that's happening right now. I was praying for that before service. I was praying for the people that you're going to text on the other side of for their hearts and their minds, for them to be changed to respond to your text, to come to the Christmas show. To respond to your phone call, to come to the Christmas show. It's not that hard. You start a conversation. You know, this morning, I started a conversation. There's this person that I'm believing for. I think we make it so difficult. I just want to share an example with you. And I said, hey, you're on my heart today. I'm praying for you. I don't really know this person from anywhere. I actually met this person a couple of weeks ago. They rear-ended me at the stoplight. So I have his phone number. But God put him on my heart. I texted him that this morning. He said, is there any particular reason why I'm on your heart? I said, he shared a little bit of his story that day. His house had recently burnt down. And I said, I know you're going through a lot lately with your house burning down. I just know that's tough. He said, I really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. He talked about where they're living in temporary housing. And I went on to tell him that, you know, there was a time in my life when I've been through a ton and I really shouldn't be here, but God. I said, I'm keeping you in my prayers. There is hope. He goes, that's really crazy that you were thinking about me because you don't really know me. He goes, I've been sober for over 2 years and I almost drank the other day. I go to AA meetings 3 or 4 times a week. I share with him, I'm sober almost 8 years. This March, I'll be sober 8 years. I invited him to church here today to hear my testimony. And he says, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I feel like there's some reason maybe you're meant to call me today. And for me to start thinking about going to church again. He said, I really appreciate it. I can't make it today, but I will start coming next week and every week from there on out. Can we just start a conversation? Start a conversation to get to the invitation. You know, I learned from Lauren. This is a short segment for Lauren, but I've learned from some other people like Lauren to play the long game. I'm there for Todd. Can we start the conversation? Let's pray today. Can we bow our heads? Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we get to be co-laborers with you and this mission that you called us to here on earth, Lord, the plan, the purpose that you have for us. Lord, I ask you right now, for everyone in this room, Lord, I want a name and a face, Lord, on their heart. Maybe it's more than one. Lord, I ask you to give them the boldness, Lord, and the courage, Lord, to step out and follow through, Lord, with that invitation. Lord, prompt them on the conversation, how to start that, Lord, and how to continue that. Lord, I ask for each and every one of us, Lord, to have a personal responsibility, Lord, to get at least one person here. Lord, because eternity is on the other side of that invitation. Lord, I ask you for the people that are going to receive those texts, those phone calls, Lord. I ask you to start preparing their heart, their minds, Lord, to receive that invitation, Lord, and to come here for the Christmas show. Lord, we thank you for the mighty salvations that will happen, Lord, at the Christmas show. Lord, we're so blessed and so honored to be a part of that. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, Andrew?
Awesome. Can we celebrate? Can we thank Pastor John?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.